This past Tuesday was the 17th anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks in America. Today, when we hear from the survivors and victims, which makes us reflect on loss, how those survivors have continued with life, and whether we could do that if faced with that challenge brought about in that manner. Joining us now is one of those survivors who, with her book, shares how her pain was healed, how the memories of the person lost can be ones of joy rather than sadness all the time, and the importance of showing love and concern for one another. Her book is The Light in 9/11, Shocked by Kindness, Healed by Love. Lisa Luckett. How are you, Lisa?
Hi, Chris. I am great today. How are you?
Fantastic to have you here and to bring this. I think people want the inside story, and this is the inside story with emotion, with heart, and with honesty. Lisa Luckett, LUCKETT.com is Lisa's website where you can get The Light in 9/11. Talk about, it was your husband that you lost that day. What was that last day?
So my husband's name was Teddy Luckett. He worked for Cantor Fitzgerald, who lost 658 people, which is almost twice the size of the next, which was Marsh McLuhan, who lost 350. I mean, these numbers are staggering. So, the morning I had babies, so I was awash in 40 plus. I was at a child at 40, almost 41, and so my third one, and I was kind of awash in the craziness of young motherhood and young children and a very busy, submerged place emotionally for myself. So Teddy and I had 40 years old and kind of trying to figure out where we were. So it was a rough time for us, and he left in the morning. The story in the book, without wasting a lot of time here, is, we had had a big fight the night before, mostly because of pressure being built up and just, life itself and being in two different places. His job was challenging, and they were firing people because they couldn't figure out how to create compensation. So we were in a tough place. But we vented it, we made up, and, slept in our customary spoons that night. And the next morning when I woke up, I said, I love you. You are my soulmate, and I'm really sorry. And he walked out the door, and that's the last time I saw him.
Wow. Now, we experience loss different ways, through illness, through a car wreck, things that, okay, it's bad that it happened, but it's in a realm of what we would consider to be normalcy. And we deal with it as best we can, and we look for a network of help along the way. This was in no way, shape, or form part of life's textbook, was it?
No, but your point is really well made. And when people ask me about this, 9/11 for me is two separate things. It's the terrorist attack that changed our world forever on our soil 60 miles from my house that, just changed everything in a moment. And it's the way my husband died. So it was his heart attack or the equivalent of a cancer diagnosis or, something the sudden. And in that, you get married knowing one of you is going first. So to lose a husband or a wife, to lose a spouse, is a different loss than a child, like an adult child, like my mother-in-law lost, or my children lost their father. So, it's death is part of life. And what the difference of 9/11, in my opinion, is that it was such a collective trauma. And anyone who ever spent time at the World Trade Center really felt the majesty of those buildings and the unbelievableness, if you will, of them actually falling down. It's just mind-boggling. To this day, it's mind-boggling. And I think part of the reason that people are so compassionate about it still to this day and still honestly haven't healed from it in my experience, it's because if you ever were there, deep in your subconscious, the thought is there that, oh my gosh, that could have been me. And so people project themselves into my situation. And because we don't, as a culture, have any real understanding of emotional wellness, of how to handle things emotionally, because we're a very young culture, and the truth is we really haven't, and people are going to disagree with me when I say this, but in truth, we really haven't been tested in our 250 years in the same ways that Europe and the Middle East and the Far East have been living with terror and wars and horrible experiences for thousands of years. And the truth is they know that the sun's going to come up the next day. They know it's going to be okay. It's going to be a new normal, that life will go on. And we didn't know that. And 9/11 was so enormous in the fact that everyone had an hour two or more to turn on the TV and watch it themselves unfolding in real time. So the truth is, an event like that, in my opinion, can never happen again because we'll never be that naive. We'll never be caught off guard to that degree. You know, there's now we're very fearful, and so as a result, we're very defensive. But we were very naive and unassuming and unexpecting then. So we've grown up a lot. Now the question is, how can we gain wisdom from our experience? How can we look at it and learn from it? Because when we learn from it, we'll begin to heal.
And personally, too, as well as with policy, I mean, we can debate about whether it's wise to be patting down the Caucasian 85-year-old grandmother at the airport, for example.
Right, right. That's a little extreme. My mother is one of those, yeah. And she seems to get patted down a lot. You know, and you have to wonder, it's the overcorrection. And we have a lot of overcorrection. And so this book is the first of one of three books, actually, to explain a very big concept. But mostly this book is my memoir, and it's about meeting people where they are and introducing myself and telling my story authentically, truthfully. And it's not a pretty story. My first 40 years are really difficult, but within the parameters of normal. And meaning I had an alcoholic household, but on the outside it looked fine. But on the inside it was definitely not fine. I wasn't hit or abused, but I was emotionally abused. I was emotionally neglected, which comes with an alcoholic system. So I want people to ultimately trust me. And that's why this book is the first of three. So it's a micro story so that you meet me and we become friends, or at least there's a respect there that you may not agree with me, but you can relate to my story, or you know someone who can relate to my story at some level. So the second book will then be the macro study of where we are culturally, how we got here, what we've done, the decade studies of the last 7 to 8 decades since, or more, 100, since, you know, the turn of the 19th century when my grandparents were born. You know, there's a lot of understanding if we stop for a minute and look at our history, but look at it in a different way, not look at it with dates and times. Look at it emotionally. Look at it where we were culturally, the changes that were going on that ultimately have gotten us to where we are today, which is actually a pretty great place.
I tend to think so. I certainly have a point of argument with Governor Cuomo from New York, who said not too long ago, America was never great.
Yeah, that was, I think he just had a bad moment because that's crazy, right? And I like John McCain. John McCain, it's always been great. You know, America's always been, we are lucky to live in this country. And we have freedom that we take so for granted because we're advanced democracy. We're kind of spoiled. We're a little fat, you know. We're a little, we blame our children for being entitled. Well, aren't we all entitled?
Well, I think just from what we've been surrounded by, and certainly if you're a student of the world and you see, well, would I rather be here or would I rather be sitting in Baghdad right now?
Right. And we take these freedoms for granted, and it's not something we're doing really wrong. I'm of a place, and the reason this book, just to fill the gap here is, the reason I wrote this book is to basically step off a speaking platform, because I needed to have a book to be a credible speaker, and there's a story behind that. I did some radio for the 15th anniversary to see if people could even stomach the idea of a positive story of 9/11, because the book is really about healing from trauma. It's not about 9/11. It's about how 9/11 became the catalyst for me to experience remarkable personal growth. And that I believe that our traumas are there for that reason. So I'm in a place of hoping that I can share how we can reframe our struggle, reframe our pain, reframe how we see trauma, and spin it to a positive, to the sense of why are we being shown this experience? What are we supposed to learn here? Instead of reeling from it and being afraid and cowering, lean into it. Because people look at me all the time and they say, wow, you're so strong, you're so strong. I am no stronger than anyone else. I just didn't collapse.
You just had to go through it. In fact, versus someone thinking in theory, what would I do? We're talking with Lisa Luckett, The Light in 9/11, Sharp by Kindness, Healed by Love. Lisa Luckett, LuckettETT.com is her website. You're listening to Issued Ideas. And speaking of speaking, Lisa will be doing a reading discussion September 20th at Barnes & Noble in Monmouth Mall on Route 35 in Eatontown, and then on the 25th, Let's Start Talking panel discussion at the Raphael Center. That's at 1425 Broad Street in Clifton. And that's on September 25th at 7 p.m. You can get more info about these and Lisa's other activities coming up at her website. I guess a good analogy for the person listening is on that day, we saw the attacks. You referenced the buildings falling. Then we saw the days and the weeks of the aftermath, the smoldering rubble, and the people rescuing, trying to reach for any life that might be there and to find remains to help ease the souls of the survivors. Is that a fair parallel to what you experienced over that timeline as well, that you had the crash, you had that long time of rubble, and then you have the hope and the recovery?
Yes, and one of the things that I think that we need to remember, and what I'm hoping to bring back forward, is the beauty and grace that followed in the years that afterward. I mean, all of the social walls came down. Equality was across the board. We were unified as a nation. There was unbelievable patriotism. There was unbelievable love. Because everybody was hurt simultaneously. This was a collective trauma. And if you were in the tri-state region, and I'm south of New York, we saw the cloud of smoke for 6 weeks. You know, we smelled it.
Oh, sure. And so, if you were driving into New York and you saw the absence of those two towers for all that time, you felt something every time you were heading toward the Lincoln Tunnel, for example.
And that went on for years and years. So one of the things about it is that constant reminder, and my whole point of stepping into the world at this time is two questions. Why are we so emotionally unprepared to handle 9/11? And where was all the wise counsel to get us through it? And now 17 years later, trauma is pretty much a daily occurrence between nature. Mother Nature is on a tirade. And just the man-made things, the issues with the guns and shootings. And, you know, so the question is, it's not when or if trauma will happen. It's a matter of when. And so I came in, my story, and part of the reason to read the book is that I was prepared for 9/11 in a very bizarre way. I was prepared for my husband's death. And what I want to share with people is your life experience is always preparing you for what's coming next. But we haven't put value on our life experience in our culture. We haven't taken the time to take a deep breath and say, wow, I just got through that. Look what I just learned. I made it. Instead, we're charging forward to whatever the next thing is.
And also to be cautious, too, to be ready for what is headed your way versus being numb to what's headed your way.
Right. Right, exactly. So everybody's kind of hiding and denying. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, what's going to happen next? Well, the truth is something's going to happen.
Yeah.
So let's lean in instead and figure out how to prepare ourselves and when it happens, what to do. Because the whole point, second part of the book, is it's not only choosing to see the light in your trauma, which is, you know, shocked by kindness, healed by love, but it's the unbelievable healing power of kindness. That always, always, always comes in a trauma, large or small. I had a breast cancer diagnosis in 2009, which was just another, you know, unbelievable show of incredible support from my community and my friends. And it's not the people you necessarily think are going to be there for you. It's not linear. It's not your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your best friends. Sometimes they're not able to help you because they are caught in the grief of the situation themselves. So it ends up being strangers. Or tertiary friends that actually come to your aid and are there for you. And it's this part of the human spirit and part of it's nestled in our DNA that we are here to help each other in this cycle of healing, if you will. So I learned that morning to let people help me. I didn't want anybody's help, but I recognized the only way I could help the people around me was to actually let them in and let them help me. And when I looked on it later, years later, I realized that was their soul food. They couldn't do anything. We couldn't. There was nothing to do in the aftermath of 9/11 except struggle and suffer. So by people being allowed to give their love to me and give their love to my children and my door being open and having them be able to touch me to recognize if it happened to them, they too would be okay. All of that giving on my part, which was really receiving, ended up creating this cycle of love and healing that got me to where I am. So it's the support of strangers and the unconditional love that kept me buoyant long enough for me to figure things out and heal.
And we have to wrap up here, and it's also when the care of strangers comes before you, sometimes that care is magnified because it's coming from an unexpected source as well, so it aids into a faster healing. But really, it's a story of heart that I hope you'll get for yourself, because life lessons are of infinite value. And Lisa's book, The Light in 9/11, Shot by Kindness, Healed by Love, is indeed a whole host of life lessons with more to come, as she has alluded to. So bookmark the website, Lisa Luckett, LUCKETT.com, because her first book is indicative of her intellect, her insight, and the books to follow are going to equal and maybe even, I believe, surpass what she has launched with The Light in 9/11, Shock by Kindness, Healed by Love. Lisa Luckett, thanks so much for being here today.
It has been my pleasure, Chris. I hope everyone has a safe and happy weekend.